Welcome to the Daily Wrap Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
February 19th, 2019. Now, I want to open today by really saying something that's been on my mind, that it is truly time that every American come to terms with the reality of the atrocities that have verifiably been carried out around the world in your name, under a banner of humanitarianism and spreading democracy by those who loud their own fake altruism, which is actually a mask handed down from administration to administration designed to keep the sinister profiteering agenda hidden from the public. Now, this is not to disparage the United States, as the people are the United States, and I'm discussing a power structure that has usurped the people from their rightful place. But many have forgotten that. Many have forgotten that the people are not meant to work for what the government wants. The government is meant to work for what the people want. Yet sadly, many have been manipulated into thinking that to acknowledge the wrongs committed by the U.S. oligarchy is now somehow against America, when the truth is the ruling class has long since ignored the concerns of the average citizen. So all those true Americans out there, and all those in other nations under siege by this globalist, war-focused plutocracy, we need to be honest with ourselves about the past actions of the governments currently pretending to represent us, and recognize that their crimes, even if committed in our name, do not represent us. They do not define us. And if we can just see past their divide and conquer tactics as a collective, as history has shown us, there is nothing that we cannot bring to light. Nothing that we cannot stand against. So bearing that in mind, keeping that in your mind today throughout the show with all the important things we're going to get into, some U.S. mercenaries caught with very similar type of equipment that we found being shipped into Venezuela just recently in Haiti. We'll dive into a little bit more on the story about Haiti as well. In addition to that, a lot of important stuff in regard to Saudi Arabia and apparently a secret effort to transfer nuclear technology from the United States to Saudi Arabia. Because, yeah, that's a great idea. As well as some more information on Yemen and a little bit of Venezuela at the end of the show. So please stay tuned for all of it, because we're going to get into, as always, basically the most important things happening today that you're probably not going to hear on the mainstream media. So for the first article coming from Zero Hedge that I do actually feel is probably the most important thing I saw today, which it's just perfectly timed for what we've been talking about, to dive more into Haiti and what's going on there and how the U.S. is just ignoring it because it's a U.S. puppet that's in control in Haiti, but now getting caught with U.S. mercenaries and weapons in there, not trying to stop the, you know, to take down the government like they're in Venezuela, but to secretly stop the protest with violence. Funny how that works. Here from Zero Hedge, 5 heavily armed suspected U.S. mercenaries, which isn't, they're definitely confirmed as U.S. by the State Department, arrested in Haiti amidst unrest. Heavily armed. Now, I want you to take note of the interesting correlation between like the equipment that they have and what they were sent in with to the same things that were caught being sent into Venezuela. Now, even while President Trump's, and as I would call it, floundering coup attempt that it is against the elected president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, as it plays out, 5 heavily armed Americans have been arrested and are being detained in Haiti, with strong evidence suggesting that the U.S. government is enabling American mercenaries to violently quell a popular uprising in Haiti against a U.S.-backed puppet that they put in place. Now, the interesting concept of the mercenary is something that, is, as we've continued to point out over the years, is becoming more and more prevalent as they need to avoid U.S. people fighting and dying in locations that have nothing to do with American interests. So they use these, you know, Blackwater-type groups that are paid, most of them soldiers that are no longer with the military, that do the same exact thing, and they don't count that as U.S. personnel. Now, Haiti, like Venezuela, is in the midst of, or in the throes of a hard-hitting economic crisis. But while the U.S. meddling machine has found a cause for concern in Venezuela, because of oil and gold and all that stuff, it is perfectly happy with Haiti's leadership as it puts down unrest in the country with shocking violence. Yeah, that's okay, because they're with us. And as we typically come to find out, albeit usually much longer down the road, the U.S. government is both supporting and facilitating this violence for its own ends. not very shocking to those that have been paying attention. And of course, we just talked about the idea of the shipments coming in earlier this month. We reported on this channel of the arms shipments from the United States uncovered by Venezuelan authorities. And later it was revealed that the plane that transported, that we also reported on, the report that transported these weapons was linked to the CIA. Not doing a very good job keeping this secret, but the point is they don't expect you to do your research. Now, in Haiti, which has been in an all-out uprising over the past 10 days, getting ignored by the mainstream media, of course, against the corruption and fuel prices, similar to the things we're seeing around the world, another cache of arms has been discovered with its own links to the United States. On and on this stuff continues, where we continue to find the very similar-looking... Thank you for the super chat. Since that didn't pop up, I'll read it for you. It says, hey, I just found out Benjamin Netanyahu's real last name. That's interesting. Thank you. For those that want to see it, the super chat is in the show notes or in the chat there. But look at the interesting, the way that the weapons, right? The military grade, the information that we're talking about here, and similar with what happened in Venezuela, all the ammunition, the satellite phones, all the same, all the very similar kind of stuff that we've been seeing play out. Now, Haitian police reportedly arrested five Americans and three others who were heavily armed on Sunday. Though conflicting reports actually indicate that six or seven Americans, may have been six or seven, and one Serb was arrested. The Serb is throughout all the accounts, but the accounts conflict on how many Americans were actually there. Now, crucially into the story, the names released by local Haitian reporters indicate all of the Americans have U.S. military and special forces backgrounds. U.S. military and special forces backgrounds. Now, this is, it's again, very similar to the kind of things we've been seeing other places. Now, all this while Haitians have been complaining recently about heavily armed foreign mercenaries patrolling the capital of Port-au-Prince. Interesting, the timing of it all. Now, the names and even some passport pictures have been released on the, you can check the article out for yourself. I'm not going to go and these names are being reported by people that have, you know, internet sleuths that have found them and said, these are the people, I can't confirm it. So there's passport pictures and names and all these things on the link if you want to look at it for yourself. Now, in total, authorities discovered six assault rifles, six pistols, ammunition, bulletproof vests, drones, telecommunications equipment, and two vehicles. All part of this. Now, video purportedly showing the men to whom the weapons belonged in custody has actually surfaced online. Now, there's no audio with this, but you can see the interesting people that are they're covering their faces. It's very clear that these people are, you know, I mean, and they have been verified as Americans. There's clearly something going on here that they're not supposed to be found out for. Now, pictures of what are believed to be some of their passports, as I said, were online that you can view. Were multiple Americans and one from the Republic of Serbia, which is interesting because as journalist Dan Cohen and Max Blumenthal recently uncovered, Juan Guaido, the leader of the U.S.-backed coup in Venezuela, was, guess what, trained in Serbia. Now, that could be coincidence, as anything could be coincidence, but who ultimately knows? But the ties between this are just too obvious to ignore. Now, according to the BBC, quote, a police source told a local newspaper that the men had said they were working for the Haitian government. And of course, the UN State Department has confirmed the Haitian authorities have detained a group of Americans. So all of these, all the facts so far are completely confirmed. And they've even said that they were working for the Haitian government. But local authorities initially said the group was being held on conspiracy charges, yet then the Haitian foreign minister came in and did not confirm this and basically tried to step it away. Now, here's the interesting part, is if this was some kind of a deeper government-led, U.S.-backed operation on the ground to quell the protest of the U.S.-backed puppet, because that's who's there right now, if that was what we're talking about, this seems like it was taken down at a local level where the people were caught with illegal weapons and conspiracy charges, and then the main government stepped in and said, no, these guys are on our side and we need to shut this down. Now, according to the Haiti Information Project, a number of Haitians believe the arrested men are, quote, part of a team of mercenaries hired by Moïse, the president, the U.S.-backed puppet that's in place in Haiti, and working with the General Security Unit of the National Palace Special Police Force to extinguish protests. So just think of the ridiculous hypocrisy of the U.S. sending mercenaries to Haiti to shut down what the people actually want, you know, protesting for democracy against a U.S. puppet, while then trying to send the same thing to another country to foment that exact kind of process. It's the hypocrisy, the contradiction is so obvious, but they just don't want you looking at this stuff. Now, according to the online publication Verdith, which appears like the majority of Haitians to be pro-opposition, It says, President Moïse has brought home mercenaries to assassinate not only a desperate people who are clamoring for his resignation by demonstrating peacefully, but especially his political opponents. So suggesting that these are U.S. mercenaries brought in to murder people on behalf of the Moïse government. Now, Mint Press News previously examined the parallels between the uprising in Haiti and the Yellow Vest movement in France. Both explicitly take aim at the economic oligarchy and government austerity policies. Both have been the subject of violent crackdowns by the police, and the governments of both countries have gotten a free pass, they say, from Washington and its lapdog media. You can't ignore this stuff. They get to pick and choose which ones they want to be important and which ones they want to ignore. That has to show you more than anything else we could talk about today. But the sad reality, we've talked about before in regard to the Petrocaribe program that they were using to help Haiti, and because of the U.S. sanctions shutting this stuff down, taking control of the oil, these countries are also suffering, and the people are unhappy about that, and showing that Moïse, the U.S.-backed puppet, has been actually stealing these funds that they were getting from oil sales from Venezuela. $4 billion apparently just went missing, and this is a man that was explicitly put in place by the United States. Very obvious stuff here. Now, jumping to another story that I think is incredibly important, and again, the absurd concept that where they the double standard that takes place all around the world today in regard to U.S. allies and anybody else that stands against them is basically how it ends up working, is that this double standard is right there in front of us, especially in regard to Saudi Arabia, one of the most authoritarian. They commit, by and large, the most regular and most atrocious human rights violations of anybody out there today, especially in regard to the 20 million people in Yemen currently being starved to death and the one child every 10 minutes that dies with U.S. support. But now we have a story about the U.S. deciding that it's okay to transfer nuclear technology to a place like this, but then continue to say how dangerous Iran is for simply having a ballistic missiles program. And remember, we just talked about the Saudi Arabian ballistic missiles program that is being built right now. The hypocrisy is all over. Here's some Zero Hedge. House oversight whistleblowers, so not just some random person, but people inside Congress and the House Oversight Committee, claim that Trump is trying to transfer U.S. nuke technology to Saudi Arabia. I mean, I can't even imagine the kind of world we would live in with a place like that having nuclear. I would argue to a large degree that they're probably already there with the help of Israel, which we've already pointed out in the past, but a nuclear-capable Saudi Arabia, the kind of group that is beheading people and crucifying people in the town square, that's now going to have nuclear-capable and maybe mini nukes, what the U.S. is probably producing in mass and trying to sell around the world like they do with all of their arms. It's alarming stuff we're talking about. Now, the House Oversight Committee issued an interim staff report after several whistleblowers came forward, quote, to warn about efforts inside the White House to rush the transfer of highly sensitive U.S. nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia in potential violation of the Atomic Energy Act. It's also worth noting that Israel originally got its nuclear technology by stealing it covertly from the United States, but we don't talk about that. That's an easily verifiable fact. And now clearly this is being facilitated towards Saudi Arabia. And this has been a long time coming. Now this whole effort, the secret transfer of this, apparently was spearheaded by none other than Jared Kushner. Now the press release is in conjunction with the announcement of an investigation into these allegations. So it's not just an announcement that's happening, but they're investigating this. Now the plan, which reportedly involves former Jared Kushner and Trump fundraiser Thomas Barak, not former, but just Jared Kushner is what I meant to say, and Trump fundraiser Thomas Barak, would see the development of, quote, dozens of nuclear power plants in a Middle East Marshall Plan through IP3, a private U.S. company, which has, quote, assembled a consortium of U.S. companies to build nuclear plants in Saudi Arabia. Now, the whistleblowers allege that the efforts were made without review by Congress, as required by law, and may be ongoing to this very day. But this shouldn't be shocking to any of us because executive branch has long since been disconnected from even being concerned about what Congress wants or thinks on anything that it does. And that just all of a sudden, it seems some people are waking up from this apathetic warmongering stupor and deciding that, hey, we need to say something about the executive branch. But that ship has sailed. But we still need to fight for it. But this is what they're saying here, is that they're doing this unilaterally, independent of Congress, which is required by law to go through Congress. But so is to go through Congress to declare war, but they don't do that either. It goes on to say, quote, the whistleblowers who came forward have expressed significant concern about the potential procedural and legal violations connected with rushing through a plan to transfer nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia. And this is alarming stuff. They have warned of conflicts of interest among top White House advisors that could implicate federal criminal statutes. It says they have also warned about a working environment inside the White House marked by chaos, dysfunction, and backbiting. And they have warned about political appointees ignoring directives from top ethics advisors at the White House who repeatedly and unsuccessfully ordered senior Trump administration officials to halt their efforts. This is the interim staff report. And yet they didn't do that, right? This is the whole point of these ethics advisors, and is to let them know when they're going to be violating a law or stepping out of line. And they just simply don't care. We need to give weapons to Saudi Arabia because we've been doing that from the very beginning. And again, we just recently talked about their ballistic missiles program. Now, according to the report, efforts to transfer the sensitive U.S. nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia may be accelerating following White House meetings last week ahead of Jared Kushner's planned visit to the Middle East country. Perfectly timed. Now, it goes on to say the committee's investigation is particularly critical because the administration's effort to transfer sensitive U.S. nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia appears to be ongoing. On February 12th, just recently, the president met with the nuclear power developers at the White House about sharing nuclear technology with countries in the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia. So they're literally taking a stance about how dangerous it is for Iran to get nuclear weapons, while they seem to be just setting up a nuclear sales stand to be giving these away to people in the Middle East, as long as they go along with the U.S. agenda. I mean, this is exactly the kind of hypocrisy and contradiction that we need people to begin to recognize, that the actions being taken by the ruling class today have nothing to do with peace, security, democracy, liberty, or any of these things. If they're simply willing to sell nuclear weapons to people like Saudi Arabia with a very clear track record of sponsoring terrorism, creating terrorism, committing human rights violations and war crimes, and then while looking at a country like Iran that hasn't attacked anybody since the 1700s and saying that they're the danger, it should make your head spin, but it should show you clearly that they don't care about the things they pretend they do. Now, in addition, next week, Mr. Kushner will be embarking on a tour of Middle Eastern capitals, including Riyadh, to discuss the economic portion of the administration's Middle East peace plan. And I guess by Middle East peace plan, they mean giving them weapons. Now, the report notes that the White House has failed to submit a report on the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. As we've talked about recently, Trump just said, you know, I just don't care about that. I'm not going to. I know I'm required to submit this report. I'm just simply not going to. This is paraphrasing the exact exchange between what's going on there. So they've just failed to submit the report that they are required to by Congress. Now, the press release continues, quote, the report indicates that there is now serious bipartisan concern with the Trump administration's efforts to transfer sensitive U.S. nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia. For example, on October 31st, 2018, Republican Senators Marco Rubio, Todd Young, Cory Gardner, Rand Paul, and Dean Heller sent a letter to President Trump urging him to, quote, suspend talks related to potential civil nuclear cooperation agreements between the United States and Saudi Arabia due to, quote, serious concerns about the transparency, accountability, and judgment of current decision makers in Saudi Arabia. So this is coming from all over Congress, and they simply just don't care. Yet again, another example of just the completely disconnected and unilateral direction of the executive branch today. And that's not this is completely Congress's fault for allowing this to happen. But just imagine for a moment what the world might be like with groups like Saudi Arabia. Israel already has a very clear stockpile that they don't have to acknowledge, unlike anybody else in the world. So imagine these people all having massive access to nuclear weapons and mini nukes. Keeps me up at night. But let's move on to another story in regard to Yemen and something that has been an ongoing case, especially in regard to the kind of people we're talking about right now, the kind of groups like Saudi Arabia that are completely and utterly involved in what's going on in Yemen. And that story that's getting just ignored by the mainstream media, the worst humanitarian crisis happening in the world right now. But interestingly, they can't spare the time to talk about it. Funny how that works out. Well, now we're talking about Saudi Arabia with the potential of nukes and what they're doing in this country, and how the ceasefires now are continuing to, surprisingly, the Houthis are continuing to push this forward in all good faith while the Saudis are doing the exact opposite. But clearly, they want what's best for the people of Yemen, not for the terrorists connected by the U.S.'s own information, Hadi government that they're trying to force back into place. But from the Mint Press News, hope of Hodeidah's ceasefire wanes as Saudis talk peace but bolster military presence. Classic story. Now, I want to go over a little bit of this information just simply because this is something we need to be aware of. This is literally one of the biggest stories happening in the world today that the U.S. is directly involved in, and no one's talking about it. So I'm going to continue to tell you what's going on here, but this story is frustrating because the same thing's happening over and over. Now, he says the UN spokesman's office said in a statement Monday that the parties reached an agreement on phase one of the mutual redeployment of forces after 2 days of talks in Hodeida. Thank you for the super chat. Now, under the deal, Saudi militants would also reopen the roads linking Hodeida to Taiz, as well as the Houthi-led capital or held capital, Sana'a. They're supposed to, anyway. Now, they would also enable access to the Red Sea Mills, a food storage facility which holds enough World Food Program grain to feed 3.7 million people for up to a month, but they've been inaccessible this whole time because of Saudi attacks on the area, bombing the food supplies. The same old thing they've been doing the whole time, the media ignores, and the U.S. government pretends isn't happening because they're supporting it. But this is just phase one they're talking about that's supposed to be happening right now. Hasn't yet. Now, Houthi added that the leader of the Houthi movement added that though the implementations of the first phase of the redeployment agreement Hodeida grant through this, the grain will be transported to from the Red Sea mills to those in need of the passage of aid and will be allowed within 11 days, assuming the Saudis play their part in this. Now, he went on to warn the U.S. Saudi Arabia and the UAE that they would be responsible for any obstruction of peace or impediment to the implementation of the agreement. So it seems like they're trying to throw this in the world stage and say, look, we're clearly doing our part. And if they don't do this and these people starve, it's on them. So I guess we can assume these people will starve to death. And it will just be about the Houthis pointing out that they were the ones at fault. It's sad how easy this is for the U.S., the Saudis, and the UAE to allow all these people to starve to death for their agenda, which is what's happening, which the UN can clearly see, which the international community can clearly see. And the only people doing anything about it are people like us talking about it on independent media. Very sad. Like Code Pink is a group that's out there aggressively trying to bring truth to this story, but so many people just don't even know about it because they're distracted with whatever, you know, puppet show de jure they're putting in front of us about people getting beat up and whatever else happening around the world that has really nothing to do with what they're trying to hide from you. Now, the breakthrough in the talks is the first achievement, as they're calling it, for the newly appointed head of the United Nations mission to Yemen, Danish Lieutenant General Michael Anker Lulsgaard, after he arrived in Hodeida beginning of February. Now, this is the new guy, after the last guy was basically exposed for being on the side of the Saudis and the United States. Pretty shocking. So now he's out of the way and someone new is in, and now they're trying to start the whole thing up again. Which does get a little frustrating to see this continue to happen over and over, that they continue to violate the truce, continue to bomb and kill people while they pretend this truce is still happening. Now, implementation of the first phase of the agreement was initially slated to begin today, actually. But guess what? You'll be shocked. The Saudi-led coalition has thus far failed to begin redeployment and moving their troops away from the areas they said they would, claiming the delay, of course, is due to issues outside the terms of the UN brokered agreement. It has nothing to do with you guys. We're just having trouble moving our people around, is basically what they're saying. So you guys go ahead and get started. You go ahead and move away from Hodeida. We'll get started in a couple days. And yeah, meaning probably they're not going to, and they're going to try to take advantage of this just like they did last time and try to take Hodeida once the Houthis move away. Exactly like I said what happened last time, and it's exactly what actually happened last time. I'm not psychic. I just can see through their flimsy attempts to do what they've always done. Use ceasefires and peace talks as a way to get one side to back away so they could take advantage of it to increase their agenda. And I'm not talking about just the Saudis. I'm talking about U.S. agendas all around the world. Happened in Syria. It happens all over the place. This is a regular foreign policy tactic of the United States. Now, Houthi officials have indicated that they have informed the head of the UN Coordination Committee that they have been ready to begin redeployment since Monday evening. That we're waiting on the Saudis. We're ready to go as soon as they actually play their part, which they have not done yet once. Now, concerns remain that the new agreement could effectively act as a new tactic for the Saudi-led coalition to fulfill its military objectives and not as a stepping stone towards peace. I'm shocked. Now, the Saudi coalition is still operating on the premise that capturing Hodeida would be an economic and military blow for the Houthis and would ultimately weaken the group. While Yemeni armed forces and allied fighters loyal to the Houthis are fully prepared to respond to any acts of aggression by the Saudis. So the point is they're not buying it this time. They're ready to jump back to it if they have to. But they're by and large taking their part every single time while the Saudis continue to bomb their families, bomb food infrastructure, bomb water, everything they can do to continue to hurt these people with complete support from the United States. Now, enduring all of this taking place, all of the catastrophes that they're suffering as their families starve to death, Yemenis completely suffering, they still chose to stand up for another group being oppressed, which should really make us all question what we do with our free time. Coming from InPress News, mass rallies in Yemen denounce Gulf Arab states' betrayal of Palestine. Of Palestine. It's just amazing to me that these people, going through what they're going through, have they take the time to protest what other people are going through. It's amazing to me, and I cannot give them enough credit for what they're doing. Now, thousands of working class Yemenis, took to the streets across Yemen to denounce what they view as local traitors who sold their homeland to the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition. They also slammed attempts by Arab states to normalize relations with Israel, calling for a total, unconditional loyalty to the oppressed Palestinian people and the Palestinian cause. Because, you know, these are people that are also being oppressed, just like we're seeing everywhere else. Now, this demonstration came in response to the Warsaw Conference, where Khalid al-Yamani, who was appointed by the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition as Yemen's foreign minister, someone, as you can see on the image, that the link that we shared before, that's working with, you know, the Hadi government, the government that currently, in that video you can see, the link is in the show notes, as all these will be, they have their names on U.S. Treasury list for sponsors of terrorism right now. At this moment, they're on terrorist list, and right this moment, the U.S. is backing them as the legitimate government of Yemen. You can't make this stuff up. They're either that incompetent or they just have enough faith that you're not going to find this stuff and research for yourself and think that people like us are lying somehow. But at this Warsaw conference, where the U.S.-backed foreign minister revealed the goal of the conference was to mobilize the international community to confront Iranian expansion in Yemen. Because they're all over, right? That's what they want you to think. The Houthis, not really connected to Iran, but that's just what they tell you and people blindly believe it. Of course, meaning the Iranian expansion in Yemen, it means the continuation and expansion of the war on Yemen under the pretext of confronting Iran. You know, the same thing that they're using and trying to use in Venezuela now. There's a picture of one man right there, currently on a U.S. Treasury list, and that's him in Geneva being a part of the U.S. peace talks. Their own hypocrisy is oozing out all around them, and it's impossible to hide. Now, speaking at the protest, Muhammad Ali al-Houthi, head of the Houthi Supreme Revolutionary Committee, declared that the Warsaw Conference, the one we talked about with Pompeo and all of them, pretending this is about strengthening the Middle East, but it's all about war against Iran, as Netanyahu himself even tweeted out, which upset the rest of them, I'm sure. But they declared that the Warsaw Conference is a military alliance against Yemen and states that stand up to Israel, calling the Gulf Arab states' alliance with Israel despicable. Now, he called on the people of the Middle East to reject normalizing ties with Israel. You know, this will be passed off as a hate action, but it's about the reality of the illegal state of Israel that has occupied Palestine and that is oppressing those people in an apartheid state. These are simple historical facts. And the sad reality is that these people are ignored and act like they don't exist because of the power structures, the alignments that Israel has made with some of the most militaristic states in the world today. But so these people are saying it's despicable to stand with a group that is currently committing genocide against an Arab state. Now, al-Shami, the official spokesman for the Houthi government based in Sana'a, said that Yemenis will not give up the Palestinian cause. Quote, even if the Palestinians themselves and the world give it up, that they'll keep it up. He added, despite the aggression that the Yemeni people are subject to, Palestine is the most important issue in Yemen. I mean, that's amazing to me. These people are literally eating leaf paste not to starve to death, and they're out here protesting for the Palestinian people. Now, the Houthis said that the Warsaw Conference was aimed at weakening the Palestinian cause. Houthi officials denounced the participation of delegates from countries involved in the ongoing military war against Yemen as treachery. He says, quote, peace in Yemen cannot be secured through capitulation to Israel. This is from the Houthi movement. It's no wonder they're trying to align them all with Iran because these people see who they are. They see what these people are all about. They see what these groups are actually trying to accomplish, and they're standing on the side of the free people simply trying to exist. What villains they are. And it's always interesting to see the contrast between the people that the U.S. is trying to promote as a villain and then when you really see who they are. People that are actually, you know, seeming logical and speaking about peace and no, but they're the bad guys. Trust us. Just trust us. They do bad, bad things. We've heard that before. And moving on to the last story of the day in regard to Venezuela that I think is incredibly important as well, because it shows you the floundering coup taking place and the fact that the U.S., Trump here, is doubling down. regardless of what's happening, regardless of the support. It's no longer even about democracy. It's that, look, we said this was going to happen, so we're going to make it happen, military or otherwise. And that's what we're looking at. Trump: Venezuelan military members must abandon Maduro or lose everything. Right? When it's not like, hey, do the right thing because we're trying to do the right thing for the people. It's not like that anymore. Oh, all of you guys support Maduro, all the people in the Venezuela. Okay, so now we're just going to threaten you. Now, if you don't do what we say, we're going to kill you, basically. So get in line with U.S. interests. Quickly, funny how quickly that shifted from we're doing the right thing for democracy and liberty and the people. Now it's just open threats against people that don't want to go along with their plan. It's crazy, is actually. It's right in your face. Now, delivering another speech in support of Venezuela regime change during his visit to Miami on Monday, Donald Trump warned Venezuelan military members will, quote, lose everything and find no safe harbor, he said, anywhere in the world if they continue to defy U.S. expectations. That's a big claim. To say if you decide to stand with your legitimately elected president and not you know, disregard your oath as a military personnel in his army and stand with him, even if you may disagree with what we're saying or agree with what we're saying, if you do that, we'll make sure that you lose everything you have and you'll find no safe harbor anywhere in the world. Just think about that kind of a statement. That is a dictator statement. You're going to hunt them down around the world for doing what they think is within their... I mean, it's just, it's amazing to me that this has become the norm for this country. This bellicose rhetoric that's over the top, like Bolton's threat against Iran, saying that you're not going to be there much longer, trust us. That's scary. Now, for weeks, Trump has endorsed opposition leader Juan Guaido as the rightful ruler of Venezuela. However, President Maduro remains clearly in power and still has overwhelming loyalty among the military leadership and millions and a strong 30%+ base of people that support him. Millions of people in that country. Now, officials have conceded that without a shift in the military, an actual regime change is highly unlikely, which is what we're at right now. Now, this is where Trump's threats come in. While some in the administration argue that Trump was only referring to their secret Venezuelan military official money stashes around the world, which is a pretty big leap of logic, the reality is that most have little, but, you know, their future and their lives in regard to their service currently with Venezuela. And that's what Trump is saying they will lose, reiterating that all options are on the table and we're coming after you personally if you don't align with us. Now, Trump went on in the speech to declare the path toward regime change in favor of Guaido to be irreversible. You know, that regime change thing they just recently said they didn't want anywhere. The classic Nikki Haley quote of, we don't want regime change in Iran, we don't want regime change anywhere. Except that we're now on a path toward regime change of Guaido being irreversible. Funny how they contradict themselves in the process of 1 week. It's humorous. But they literally don't think we have the memory longer than a goldfish in this country. And they continue to say different things that contradict their statements 1 week to the next. It's humorous, actually. It's almost like we should watch some kind of a military sitcom here. But the sad reality is that people die because of their ridiculous actions. And he goes on to say, Trump, that he intends to stick with these demands and the threats that go with them, regardless of the lack of progress. Wow, that's chilling. So regardless of the fact that anybody actually is on board with this, other than your puppet countries that are bending to you because they're afraid of you, if regardless of what happens, we're going to make this happen. We are going to stick with these demands. We're going to invade your country. We're going to murder people as long as we get what we want to happen. That's pretty damn chilling. Now, that's my take on what he's saying. Obviously, what he said in and of itself is pretty obvious. That we're going to stick with these demands and threats that go with them, he says, regardless of the lack of progress. That is pretty damn obvious. But hopefully people are beginning to wake up to this whole story. As it's pretty obvious as well, the lie they tried to make about the bridge and the blocked off human aid, even though he was getting in 933 tons of humanitarian aid from Cuba and Russia and China. I mean, it's just their lies are just everywhere. And hopefully people are beginning to see that. And as I asked in the beginning, it's really time for us to begin to step back, reflect on what has happened before, what this government and the people that are in it, a lot of them that were there since Iraq and before, what they have done and the things they've allowed and the things they still support. Genocides committed in El Salvador, in Nicaragua, in of course, in Iraq, the biggest one that Bolton still thinks was the best thing he's ever done. 500,000 children died, and that's all okay. It's time for us to reflect on these people doing what they're doing now and the same lies they told then versus the same lies they're telling now. So to end today, I want to leave you with a clip from the documentary War on Democracy, which I recommend you watch for yourself, to help us all remember that this has happened many times before in Venezuela, in Latin America, and around the world. And it has never been done to help the people. And even if it had, it never once improved the lives of the very civilians in these sovereign nations that were overthrown by the U.S. oligarchy under the guise of trying to protect them. So as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant. Actually, looks like, hold on, stay with me, ladies and gentlemen, for the delay, because I made a mistake. I want this video for you. I want to end with a great video by a clip, actually, of the trailer of The War on Democracy. Here we go. All right. One more time. I love you all. I'll see you next time.
America will not impose our own style of government on the unwilling. Our goal instead is to help others find their own voice.
He should have been killed a long time.
By whom?
By anyone.
Se destituyen de sus cargos ilegítimamente ocupados al presidente y demás magistrados del Tribunal Supremo de Justicia.
Me llevaron. Pensé que iba a morir.
I think it's very important to understand that the United States did not support that coup. Not support that coup.
We'll intervene whenever we decide it's in our national security interest to intervene. And if you don't like it, lump it.
Isn't history taught in the classroom about the role of the U.S. government in human rights violations?
The doctrine that was taught was that you use virtually any method necessary to get what you want.
Torture?
And killing.
Kill him.
Killing.